Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning and good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. We're going to have two returning guests, two old friends, two dear friends, and we're going to make two new friends today. So that means I know we're going to share a lot of information, and I know today's show is going to be incredible. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, maybe in your house, maybe a coworker who needs this information. Maybe someone you know is starting their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they want to start their entrepreneurial journey and they don't know how. That's why every morning at 8 o'clock, we share our stories, our journeys, and who we are with you. So go ahead and share this show. Friends, don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And today's show is brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's an in-person and virtual event. Go ahead and pick up your ticket. The link is in the Facebook post. And while you're grabbing your ticket, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. You have seen him here before. You've seen him here many times. You've also just saw his own episode where we got to really sit down with this young man and talk about his incredible journey on Ask Sharifa Videocast, Mr. Jim Astill. Jim is president and CEO of Danby Appliances. Jim is currently CEO of both ventures, and he just sold ShipperBee, which is revamping outdated shipping channels into a system that is better for consumers, retailers, and the environment. Jim is a Canadian technology entrepreneur, executive, and philanthropist. He started his first computer distribution business from the trunk of his car. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Excellent. How are you today, Sharifa?
I am excited. I'm excited. I feel like you're my co-host now. Like we're in this together somehow.
We are. Now, we have to change my bio because I sold ShipperBee. So that's gone in history. Now I'm just like CEO and president of just one company, Danby Appliances.
Just one. I noticed that as I was reading it. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. ShipperBee is gone, but that's okay. It's still part of the story. It's still part of, you know, your journey. So that's fine. So Jim, for anyone out there who doesn't know who you are, please let them know who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Well, I'm CEO and president of Danby Appliances, but my business started my entrepreneurial journey from the trunk of my car. And I grew that first business to a couple billion in sales. And I retired and I sat on the board of this company, Danby Appliances. The CEO resigned. I said, I can run it. And then I realized I like running a company. And then the ownership asked me to sell the business. And I said, how much for? And they told me, I said, fine, I'll take it. That's how I ended up in the appliance business. And we, you know, we make fridges, freezers, wine coolers. But at this time of year, the big products for us are air conditioners and dehumidifiers, which you're going to say, what's an appliance company making air conditioners? These are window and portable air conditioners. It's because the commonality is they all have compressors. And we buy a couple million compressors a year. So that's why how we ended up in the air conditioner business when we're really an appliance company. So that's a good start, Sharifa. Is there anything else you want to know?
Yes. I want to know how you became such an unconventional CEO. That's what I want to know.
What's called being eccentric. So I am eccentric and I don't do what anyone wants me to do. And so that makes me eccentric. So as I say I'm eccentric, then it doesn't bother me if anybody calls me eccentric because that's what I am. It's all good.
You are eccentric. I've enjoyed speaking with you during this global pandemic. And what I've noticed that each time I talk to you, your hair is long. It's like Rumpelstiltskin or something. It's like it just grows each time.
You see, that is what Canadian thing. because where I live, they have shut down all the barbers and I can't go out to dinner. And like, we are in total lockdown, which we need to be because it's not a safe place out there. And running a manufacturing company, I'm telling you, is really nasty in pandemic because, you know, you have to change your shift starts and social distancing. You look at a factory, you say, that's the stupidest way to set up a factory I've ever seen. You're moving parts, you know, 3 feet, eight feet, 10 feet. But that's the life we deal with. And the other thing, you know me well enough to know, I will say what I have are first world problems. I'm not going to go hungry tonight. We only have first world problems here. Anyone listening to your show has a first world problem, so we can't really complain too much.
I know that feeling. I know that feeling, Jim. I definitely can't complain because I love my life. I enjoy what I do. And I always enjoy speaking with you. And one of the things that I wanted to announce this morning, I was so excited about, is that you were able to give us a Friends of Sharifa discount, which offers any of our viewers, any of my friends, 10% off at Danby Outlet Store. So I'm grateful for that, Jim. Why did you decide to offer that to the people?
Well, see, what the outlet store, this sells products that come back from the retailer. So we sell to all the major retailers, Home Depot, Lowe's, Costco, and whatnot. And they send some products back and then we refurbish them and sell them in the outlet store. And we test them and we give them warranties and stuff like that. But of course, my issue, whenever you're in business, you have to sell what you have. So I need to sell them. And of course, you're one of my friends. So I have to give you a friend and family discount that you can pass on to your listeners.
We are definitely going to do that. We are definitely going to do that. Now, Jim, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. You have seen this lovely young lady on the Roundtable Talk Show as well, Miss Madeleine Weiss. She is a Harvard-trained licensed psychotherapist, mindset expert, and board-certified executive, career life coach who helps people master their minds so they can maintain and enjoy satisfaction and success in all areas of their lives. She is a co-author in the Handbook of Stressful Transitions Across the Lifespan and best-selling author of the Getting to Great Five-Step Strategy for Work and Life. Good morning, Madeleine. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to all. I was listening to Jim talk about first world problems. I specialize in those. However, when I think about the first worlders, how many people they lay hands on, it helps me to know that there's a reach to this, to people who don't necessarily have first world problems. I remember when I was working in Harvard Medical School and I asked the first year medical class to please fall still, and they did. And I thought, my God, I just asked the first year medical class at Harvard Medical School to fall still, and they did. And these people are going to lay hands on so many families who will then lay hands on so many families, and on that goes. It was really a very humbling experience, and one that I didn't intend to say any of this, but as long as I'm at it.
That's what we do here. I don't know why.
But in any case, it's really my privilege, you know, to be able to touch here and that touches there and there. So anyway, thank you, Jim, for saying that. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What are you passionate about, Madeleine?
Yeah, that. That. I think you know from previous times that my father passed away when he was 42 years old, and I was a mouthy little girl who figured for a long time, because people didn't talk to their children and listen to their children the way they do now, or at least in my part of the world, they didn't. So I thought for a long time he died of me, until that day at the cemetery when my I broke down with my mother about how all my fault that was. And she said, no, honey, it wasn't you, it was work. So I'm pretty passionate about if I can help one little girl or boy's mommy or daddy or anybody at all, for that matter, have a happier, healthier life for themselves and all the big and little people who are counting on them. I know I'm doing what I feel like I was put here to do, which is interesting for me because that's the feeling that my clients all want, that feeling that you're doing what you were put here to do. And there's something about, I don't wish anybody get to it the way that I did, but there's something about having that grounding that really does make a difference in one's life. So that's kind of what I'm providing or trying to transmit, or the technology I'm trying to convey, or however you like to think about that.
Wow. And you're not trying, you're doing, you're making it happen. I've watched your journey. I appreciate all your support over this last year. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Amy Scherer. Amy is the best-selling author of three other books about humaning and healing. As an energy therapist, she helps people release emotional baggage to become their happiest, healthiest selves. Her work has been translated into 13 languages and has appeared in CNN, CBS, Washington Post, Cosmopolitan, and more. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you so much for having me here.
Of course. I love to meet new people, make new friends, and then I'll rope you in like I roped Jim and Madeline in, and you're back. I tell you, it's contagious.
I can't wait.
Tell us about yourself, Amy. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
So I am a writer. I have written four books on humaning and healing. And humaning encompasses all of the things that we all struggle and embrace every day, which is being our true selves. Healing, I have my own personal healing journey from chronic Lyme disease and autoimmune conditions. And so part of what I ended up writing books about was healing. And now I have moved into not seeing clients on a regular basis or almost on any basis at all, but actually helping other authors who have stories and things to share, get their work out into the world. And so I help people with book planning and proposals, which proposals are needed to sell a nonfiction book to a publisher. And it's been an interesting sort of transition from helping directly to teach people about releasing emotional baggage, stuck energy in the body to heal, and writing about that for many, many years, four books and many languages later, to actually helping authors, which I think will have an amazing effect on so many people beyond just those dedicated readers of mine. So that's it. That's what I'm passionate about, is writing and telling my own truth in order to help people do the same.
Okay. Now, when you first started your journey, what did you discover about humaning and healing that you wanted to share with everyone else?
So when I first started my journey, I didn't know that I was going to share anything. I always wanted to be a writer, but I never wanted to write about this. This would not be a topic I thought I would write about, but you know what happens in life, and you get taken in a direction, and then that becomes what you experience and what you share. But eventually what I discovered through my own healing journey was to really, that it is so important for our mind, body, and spirit to become who we really are. And that is the first and foremost, you know, the primary purpose we all have is to be who we are. And all secondary purposes like career and relationships and come from that. And so much of my writing is about helping people figure out who they really are. My latest book is called How to Heal Yourself from Depression When No One Else Can, which is a guide for people who, in addition to whatever treatments they're already doing, are willing and wanting to discover what part of themselves they have been disconnected from and how to reconnect to that part of themselves. And so that's really what I teach, is it sounds so simple, but why is it so hard to do? Be who you are, feel how you feel, and allow yourself to really connect to your own joy, the joy that we each have inside. And that's what I write and teach about.
What are some of your strategies or recommendations as far as depression?
So I teach techniques that are in the sort of subset of energy psychology techniques, which incorporate changing your beliefs and mindset and releasing stuck emotional energy in relationship to the energy system, which we all have. Many people who know about acupuncture, acupressure, know that there's an energy system and we have energy pathways in our body. And so all of my techniques are about releasing stuck energy to help the flow of our natural energy support our mind, body, and spirit. And so I teach, all of my books are centered around those techniques. I also teach at major hospitals and medical organizations, a little less of that now that I'm working with authors, but these are all, energy psychology has a lot of, you know, scientific study behind it and work now that they're all self-application techniques. So it's really nice that people can use them in addition to, you know, going to their therapist or their coach or whatever it is. But that is what I teach.
That is wonderful. Amy, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ian Price Murphy. Ian founded Moxie Bookkeeping and Coaching, Inc. to make small business financial information accessible and actionable, even for those who don't think of themselves as good with numbers. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. I just have to remember to take myself off mute without turning off my video.
Sometimes it's the little things. It's the little things.
Sometimes it's the little things. Yes. I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm distracted. I'm like reading the signs. Like the world needs Moxie. I love that's like chutzpah. It's one of those words that inspires you. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. We were actually named by one of our clients when I was going from being a freelancer to hiring my first employee. And I thought, well, I can't really work under my name anymore. And we were chatting. He said, I've always wanted to name a business Moxie. And I was like, that's perfect. Yes. That was all it took.
So for those people who don't know, what is Moxie?
So we are Moxie Bookkeeping and Coaching, and we are profit first bookkeepers. And what that means is that we not only do bookkeeping in the traditional way through QuickBooks and another software called Xero, but that we take it to the next logical step, which isn't really bookkeeping, which is, now that I know what my numbers are, what can I afford? Uh-huh. Because that's always the question that people are asking, right? People don't really care if their bank balances or not. I mean, yeah, that's like one of those things that sort of needs, it's like brushing your teeth, right? It's the start, it's not the end. And traditionally, that's not an answer that bookkeepers can provide. And so there's all sorts of ways that small businesses try to answer that question with multi-tab Excel spreadsheets and doodles on pieces of paper and wild guesses. But what I've found is that this cash management system that gives every dollar a job and then gives every dollar a home in an actual separate bank account gives you this at-a-glance clarity, even if you're behind on bookkeeping. And it's really sort of the forward-looking plan that is responsive to what you actually have in the bank, not what you hope is coming. And so it just really empowers people who don't think of themselves as good with numbers or don't really have the time and interest to become accountants because they have other jobs that they love doing. And lets them really make some well-informed financial decisions.
I actually went to college to be an accountant, but then I got bored as hell. Excuse my language. It's too early in the morning, but I got bored. I was like, I'm not about to sit here and count beans all day. I need something exciting. And I became a talk show host. So I completely get it. But when I hear you speaking, I'm that kind of business owner that's like, yes, that sounds good. That sounds nice. You know what you're talking about. Here, you do it. Because it's not something that I would want to, you know, handle. It's something that I would want a professional to handle. Do you find that often?
I do find that often. And I think there's a difference between delegation from a place of knowledge and empowerment versus abdication of, I don't want anything to do with this. Just make it work and make your magic happen. And that always concerns me, right? Because I fully agree that your time is not best spent counting the beans, but I do want you cooking with the beans, right? I do want you making that fantastic bean stew that can serve everyone. And so being able to know just the important parts, right? Have we hit our sales target for the month? And do I have enough in my operating expense account to carry me through until I'm going to refill it? gives you all the information you need. So you're still able to get that intelligence and that financial data without having to go in and be like, yes, you know, Zoom is software. Yes, Con Ed is utilities. Someone else should be doing that for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree that I should be responsible for all of those things. However, just like most things in my life, I'm really asking you those questions. Did we reach our goals? Do we do this? That's all I need to know. So I completely agree. Now, Ian, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, this amazing young lady, Dr. Madeline Ann Lewis. Dr. Lewis is president and CEO of the Executive Women's Success Institute and creator of the online course, Crack the Career Code, How to Lead with Confidence, Charisma, and Credibility. She's a career strategist, certified financial literacy educator, coach, trainer, speaker, author, business consultant, and host of the Success for Women radio/TV show. Good morning, Dr. Lewis. How are you?
Well, good morning to all of you. And thank you, Sharifa, for having me on your platform. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you. I'm so interested in what you have to say. Tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Well, you heard a little bit about it. As you mentioned, I am the president and CEO of the Executive Women's Success Institute. And what we do is help women who aspire to get into upper management or executive level positions. And if these ladies decide that they want to come out of the workplace and transition into business, then we help them work with them to get their business up and on track. I am a native New Orleanian. I currently live in Maryland right now. And that's me in a nutshell. I'm just, as you said, I love working with women. I love just seeing their passion for excelling. And I just love to help them accelerate that path to success. So basically, that is what I do.
That's wonderful. That to me sounds like an incredible passion, but it sounds like the end of the story. How did you get here? Why did you want to do it? Why were you so passionate about helping these people? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I was in the workplace, what I noticed was there weren't a lot of women helping other women up the ladder. And when I was also in the military, because I'm a retired Sergeant Major, Army. And I had women coming to me asking me, well, how did you, move up that ranks like that? And also when I was in the civilian workplace, I had the same thing. They wanted to know, women were coming to me wanting to know, how do you keep getting promoted? How do you keep moving up? And, they wanted me to look at their promotion packets. They wanted me to do mock interviews with them. And so I realized, well, if you never know who's watching you. You never know who's looking. And because of these women that were coming to me, I just decided that I needed to do this on a larger scale, just not help the few that were coming to me, but help as many as I could to get where they were trying to go also. And, when I was young, my mother, who is my role model and the person who always encouraged me, but she always said too, when you get up, always help someone else up too. And I think that's the reason why my passion is so strong for helping women to excel and helping women to reach their goals. And so basically that's why I do it. That's how I started doing what I do.
Mm-hmm. For founders, it's also often difficult to take that first step. Like we know with Jim. Jim started his first business selling out the trunk of his car. When you had this idea for this business that you wanted to do, what was the first step for you? Did you go get employees? Did you go get buildings? I mean, what was that first initial step like?
Well, the first thing that I did when I started my business, I wanted to make sure that it would be a place where women could come and be safe, where they could come and you know, express what they needed to express, but also to learn what they needed to learn. So before I even started the business, I did a lot of research. And one of the things that I did was I interviewed 20 women in and around the Washington metropolitan area, women that were in high power position, executive level positions, because I wanted to find out how they got there, how they stayed there, the obstacles they faced in being in those positions. And I did that because I wanted to not only use my experience, but I wanted to be able to tell them how others are doing also. And so that was the first thing I did. And so once I had that in place, I created a system, which I call the 8 Habits of Highly Successful Women. Maybe not very original, but it encompasses all those things that I learned. And so that when I do the training, I put them through those different steps so that they can, you know, not feel like I can't learn to do this. I can't learn to speak in front of people. I can't learn to, you know, be an executive or in upper management. And so those were the first steps that I did. And then when I created my business, of course I did, you know, the regular things that I needed to do. I wanted to be certified. I wanted, you know, everybody can hang up a shingle and say they're a coach and, you know, depending on what your skill levels are, but I wanted to have that, you know, something that you needed to make sure that you connect with people. So I got certified, I got coaching certifications. I did different things to just make sure that when I hung my shingle out, when people came to me, they saw that I was certified. I'm certified through the federal government. I'm certified through the state. I have my coaching certification. I'm MBE, DBE, veterans certification. I also have the Colby certification to do assessments, because sometimes, you know, people don't see or they don't know what they know. They don't, you may see something in them that they don't see in themselves. And so, and doing a lot of times doing the assessments, they see, oh, wow, I didn't know that I'm strong in this area, you know? And, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, do you think I need to go back to school? Well, let's see, because maybe not. Maybe, you know, women have a lot in them. Like I said, sometimes we don't know what we know. And sometimes we have all this information in us and we're just afraid to let it out because we think if we step out there, somebody's going to ask us something and we may not be able to answer that question. And that's okay. Not everybody, you know, is perfect. And there are, because when you step out in front of people, there's always going to be someone who's going to question your credentials.
Absolutely. I definitely
agree. They're going to ask a question that they think you don't know. And it's okay to say, you know, I don't know right now, but I will find that answer out for you. Exactly.
Right. I definitely, that's the whole model behind Ask Sharifa, because if I don't know, I guarantee you it's someone within my network that knows. And I've been doing this for 25 years. So I'm always trying to meet every day. I meet new friends. I have returning guests. Amy, when we're listening to Dr. Lewis talk about women and empowering women, one of the reasons where we get stuck is the emotions. So when you hear that, what are your thoughts, Amy? You're on mute, dear.
Sorry, I live in New York City, and as soon as I start doing anything, some crazy situation starts going on outside, which is exactly what happened. So I thought, for everyone's sake, I would mute. When I have worked, you know, and I worked with clients for many, many years before I sort of transitioned out of private client work, but what I heard over and over was either I don't deserve this. Or, and sometimes you don't hear it in those words, but what you're hearing, and you know, right? What you're hearing is a lot of times that people just don't feel like they deserve the success or the expansion or the risk of failure, it can even be. So that deserving aspect is something that I think all of us can work on from an emotional place and ask ourselves, if we feel like we're not deserving of that which we want, why is that? And is that story actually true? And so when I listen to this wise woman say so many things that I resonate with, that was what I was thinking, was so many of us, sometimes we don't know how to do it. That's true. And we need help. And sometimes we don't believe we can do it or that we deserve it. And that's another aspect that's really important to work on.
Absolutely. Madeline.
Yeah. I was thinking, all of us had to figure out how to, and good morning, Dr. Madeline. It's nice to see you. We tease each other about our names. So what I was thinking was that as little children, we come up with a strategy, some way of navigating our environment. And I think some of you know, Amy, I think you would like this. The beginning phase is knowing who we are, but part of who we are is the strategies we cling to. And often, people overuse or misuse a single strategy because it serves them well to a point, and they don't even realize that they are even using a strategy. They don't think even necessarily in terms of their own agency in the world and the strategy that they're using. And so after we figure out a little more about who they are, there are phases after that about exploring realms they may not have ever even thought of, or maybe they did think of it, but thought, nah, I can't do that. Like Amy's saying, maybe they don't feel that they deserve that. But a lot of times they haven't even gone as far as to explore what is possible.
And when you say, didn't mean to cut you off, that's who I am, what I tend to do. But when you say strategies, what specific, like, give me an example. Are you mean like a coping mechanism or one way they operate through the world?
So one man comes to mind who was in what he thought, yes, how they operate in the world. And I had very early training from a very wise man on the cognition of how we operate in the world. So a client comes to mind who thought his family was not competent, the adults were not competent. No surprise, he found himself in one work setting after another where he thought he knew better than everybody and everybody else was not competent. And I said to him at some point, God, what tools would you even be using if you surrounded yourself with people you thought were competent? And he was at a complete loss. He had no schemata or strategy for anything like that because he had never gone there. Lo and behold, he has left the dysfunction. He's being sought after by many other, he's in the insurance industry. Big companies are coming after him to problem solve. And he's building his own company because he wants to be very sure that he's not getting immersed and distracted by dysfunction. Mm. And the way to do that is to build his own company without it. And he has two partners and he's keeping an eye on what kind of competency is in the mix. So that's a good example, I think.
Yes. No, it was.
Of someone who had a story and a strategy and was living it over and over and over again till he invited somebody in to call him on it. And I kind of do that.
Yes, and you do that well. So let me go over to Jim for a minute. We were talking about greatness and standing in your greatness. Your first company, Jim, you sold for a lot of money. We're not going to count Jim's coins, but you just sold another company. You've invested in 150 companies. At any point in time, just in your life, have you ever dealt with imposter syndrome? Like, who am I to be doing all of this?
Oh, he's on mute too.
Something's going on with Jim. We lost Jim. We lost the mute is not on. I don't know.
Oh, you can't lose me.
We found you again, Jim.
Of course I have imposter syndrome. I think you're actually not a healthy person if you don't have some self-doubt. That's my own opinion. But the way I don't know whether I get over it, but I don't have a real high opinion of myself. I'm just a regular guy. So as long as you're just a regular person, then I think that whatever comes your way, you can deal with. Another thing, I also pride myself on failure. So I've invested in 150 companies. You know some of them. Like I funded BlackBerry before they were public. I sat on their board for 13 years. You know the company. I exited from 25 of them. I lost all my money on 100 of them. Mm-hmm. So you lose all your money on 100 of them. So everyone knows you for your success. They don't know you for your failures. So it's fail often, fail fast, fail cheap. And having a failure does not make you a failure. Madeline, you were talking about depression. I'm not into the same soft stuff that all you are into. So my way of dealing with depression in people is work is good. And work is often a cure for depression. I brought in 500 Syrian refugees to Canada. And what I would find is people would be depressed often because they lost their home and they lost their brother and they lost their kids or their parents and they're away from home and they lost, they have a degree, but they can't practice in their field. They don't speak English. Finding them work, people found meaning. And if you're a regular Canadian and you get depressed, my solution to them is go help people. So go work in the soup kitchens, go help people, because then you're gonna learn that any problems you have are kind of minor. Go talk to my Syrian refugees. You're gonna find out that your life's pretty darn good by comparison. So that's my cure for depression, which will never go into any book because it's not.
It is. The father of positive psychology, Martin Seligman, said quite a while ago now, because he's been at it for a while, that gratitude and giving are wonderful cures for the blahs, for all the reasons you state. So you're right on the money with and the best thing.
Is the other thing, like the simplest thing I do in life is I have a gratitude journal and I write things in the morning that I'm grateful for. And it's so simple that why wouldn't everybody do it? But and I don't know where that comes with imposter syndrome or anything, but I'm just grateful because really the reason I'm successful is I am super lucky. At the same time, I'm grateful for being lucky.
Yes, but you're also a very hard worker. I mean, we've talked about some of your ventures and how hard you work from a young man.
Oh yeah, of course. But then part of it is society has this view that work is bad. I don't have that view. I actually think work is good. I actually like work. And so anyone, like someone else, you could call me a workaholic and I could say, no, it's not a workaholic. I enjoy doing it. What's my hobby? My hobby is my work. It's what I do.
Yes, and you do it well. So that advice, I don't think just applies to Canadians. You know, I'm taking that advice right here in America.
Can I jump in with something quickly?
Jump in there, Amy.
I think we're also different because I have to speak up it just quickly for women, because in my world of working with those with depression, a lot of times depression comes from the opposite, which is overgiving, doing for everybody else, overworking. So I think it's so personality driven in a way, and so much about individual circumstances, right? Because so many of the readers that I have, of the clients that I've worked with, those that I work with in hospitals, they land in this situation because they work and they're not attentive to their own needs. They're mothers, they're caretakers of you know, their parents and disabled children. And so overgiving and not really focusing on what you need. And sometimes we can be good at giving as a distraction from having to do what we need to do. So I think it's so interesting that there are so many, and I always try to talk about this, there's a spectrum of depression. And there are so many cures and causes for it that each person really does need to tune in. I am definitely one of those people that the more purpose I feel and the more aligned I feel with my purpose, the more alive I feel. So I'm with Jim. But then I have other people that the more they are driven by what they think they should do or what they want to do, but they overdo it and they don't rest, and they are so externally focused that they aren't feeding themselves in other ways. That can go wrong too. So it's all about really, you know, paying attention to our own needs and wants all along the way, no matter how you find your purpose.
So what I've tried to do is also to learn what are the things I can do and what can I control and what can my piece be? I talked about the refugees, 500 refugees. How many millions are there? 20 million? I don't know. I don't even know the number. So what are you doing? You're not doing anything, but you choose the size of something that you can do. And that could be about your overgivers. They might be trying to do things that are beyond what they can do.
Yes, absolutely. That's such a pattern for women. It could be a chronic pattern for women, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk to Dr. Lewis. Dr. Lewis, your thoughts. You're on mute, dear. Okay.
You know, absolutely. You know, I don't dwell on depression at all. That for me is just something I don't embrace whatsoever. And because I agree with you, Jim, when you said, you know, if you love what you do, then I just can't see being depressed about it. But, and that's one of the things I remember when I was in the workplace, when I started to get to the point where I dreaded getting up in the morning to go to work or go to that particular position, I knew it was time for me to move, because you can't be happy doing something every day, you know, 8 hours a day, maybe even more than that, and you hate getting up to go there. And if it's making you sick, just to think about it. And so I totally agree with the fact that, you know, you have to find something that resonates within you, but you also have to make time for yourself, because if you don't, then, you know, like I hear when all this pandemic things started, you know, people having to be at home, they were going into depression because they weren't used to being at home a lot, you know, and it was like when it was a total lockdown, a lot of people were going up the walls. Well, I saw it as a time for me to do some things that I didn't get to do, you know, before all of that started. So while I was here and could do absolutely nothing else, I focused on those things that I had been putting off, and I just pulled some of those things out and started doing them. And so I think that's, you know, there are ways to help you. Now, I'm not talking about clinical, because, you know, Madeleine, that's your area of expertise, but I'm talking about just on the surface of letting yourself wallow in different things. You just can't do that. You have to find something that will make you happy. But like you said, the giving and being grateful, having that attitude that, you know, I'm grateful for these things, then those things will help you to really keep you out of that depression, you know, area.
Warren Beatty, of all people, and I don't know if I pronounce his name right, said that success is when you can't tell whether you're working or playing. However, there's this new study I just saw. It's coming out of France. It's called Deep Time. They took 40 people. I just wrote a blog post on this. They took 40 people and put them in a dark, damp cave for 40 days in isolation, without a phone, without a clock, all that sort of thing. 2/3 of them at the end of it, when they came out, said they wanted to stay there a little longer. And I think by extension, with things opening up now, with the pandemic, I got response to this post that a lot of people are actually feeling that they're not quite ready to go out and play, because as Dr. Madeleine said, a lot of people got kind of used to finding a more than comfort zone, a place to play within. Mm-hmm. And now they're expected to go back and they're like, I don't know. So I just think that's really a fascinating something to keep an eye on now.
I think that's interesting. I think it is. And I just had to laugh because, you know, have this joke with my friends and we talk about kidnapping. I'm like, nobody will ever want to kidnap me because I'd be like, oh, I'm staying here. You're gonna cook for me? You're gonna take care of me? Like, I'll be here forever. No, I'm not running away because I do way too much at my house. Like, you're gonna do everything? Take care of me? Okay, cool. Ian, what are your thoughts?
I have plenty of thoughts. I think, you know, it's always wonderful to be on a panel of people that have such, you know, interesting perspectives and a wide variety. So I'm hearing and agreeing with so much of what's being said. You know, I gave a little giggle when Jim said, oh, all of you with the soft skills, because as a bookkeeper, my skills are not soft.
I noticed when Jim said that too. I was like, how do you just minimize our little skills? The little girls are talking.
No, not that. I think that soft skills have really become so crucial lately. But again, you know, as someone, I'm much more task focused than people focused. And it's one of the things that I feel like I'm always sort of struggling with is making sure that I'm
peopling,
really giving time and energy to those soft skills. So it's always wonderful to hear that, but it's just such a joy to be on a, you know, a panel of fun, intelligent people that are all bringing up, you know, things that sound so different, but feel so like they're such a good through line.
Yes, it's just a commonality that we find on the Roundtable Talk Show. Over 260 episodes later, 1 year later, I was nervous at first. I was like, you can't just throw five strangers in a room and have them talk. Now I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. Watch where this conversation goes. We don't know. But one of the things that Dr. Lewis was talking about is people kind of making that decision to do what they want to do as opposed to, you know, this is what I have to do. But I also believe that that's a result of society changing. You know, for so long, society just said, you have to go to work, you have to do 60 hours, you have to commute, you it doesn't matter if it's fun, it's your job, that's what you do. And I think as a people now, especially during COVID, we looked around and said, what is it that I want to do? Not necessarily what is it that I have to do. And so I think we're all changing. Madeline, I would love to hear.
Sorry, I was going to just add one little thing to that, which is I think that that's sort of been the upside, if you will, to COVID. It's hard to say that there's an upside, but so many new clients are coming to me saying, I've been thinking about this business for years and I finally got laid off with a little bit of unemployment. And that's allowed me to fund my dream in a way that I never thought I could before. And right. So I think that there is, you know, speaking to what Dr. Madeline was saying of being able to take the opportunity, take the lesson of something not great, or what Jim was saying about, you know, let's help refugees and focus on what we can do rather than on what we can't do. And I think the same is very much true, you know, that I think we're going to see a boom in small business entrepreneurship of people finally saying, I need to be in control of my own income. And that, you know, as you know, is a little bit of my story that I, in my 20s, had a bankruptcy because I was relying on other people to tell me what I should be earning. And it wasn't until I started freelancing for myself that I was able to live a reasonable life because I was paying myself a living wage, which other people just weren't able to do for me. And so I'm really excited to see how our culture and our different countries really blossom with hopefully what turns out to be a lot of new cottage industries, since that's really the backbone of the neighborhood and then of the world.
Absolutely. Madeline, your thoughts?
You know, I was thinking when you were saying I should versus I want to, there's this other wording that's gotten on my radar screen lately that I love. And instead of I should or even I want to, it's I get to.
So I
was working with a couple and the guy played around with I get to, like when it was his turn to put the baby to bed or his turn to feed the baby, he was practicing I get to. And it just fills him with this remembrance of the blessing of having made a baby and that he actually gets to spend time. It just sets a whole completely different framework. So during the whole COVID, I got to write a book. No one said I should write a book. I didn't even know necessarily I wanted to, but I got to. And there's this wonderful saying about Beethoven, not to put myself in company that's way out of my league, but they said, why did Beethoven write the ninth? He wrote the ninth because he could. And because he could, he had to. So my shtick is that when people get quiet enough, and that's what I mean by mastering the mind, quieting that down, things bubble up that feel like calling and that you get to enact that. And when you're doing that, I think other people are saying too, you kind of, that line between whether you're working or playing becomes not only blurred, it's not even relevant. It's like, I feel like I'm playing in my work all the time. Just the joy of it, watching the magic happen. It's like, what more? Anyway, yeah.
No, I love it. I get to host a roundtable talk show. I get to meet 5 new friends a day. I think it's wonderful. And I'm just honored that I get to meet all of you. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Amy.
All right. I was just thinking, when we're talking about books and writing, about how many years I thought about writing and didn't actually commit to it. And even with some of my books, I mean, most of my books I had to write on deadline for a publisher. So I wrote them in 4 months when I had a deadline. But guess what happens when I don't have a deadline? It takes me 5 years to write a book. So my message is to anybody who has a message to share, that you are worthy, that you're deserving, and that people need that message, and that it is worth being attentive to your own needs and desires in terms of sharing that message in whatever way. It doesn't have to be a book. A lot of people have a dream of writing a book. It doesn't have to be a book, but if it's a blog post, if it's speaking on a podcast, if it's putting something on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. I always say that I'm too old to do any of the other ones now. I can't even keep up. Facebook and Instagram are my places. But if you have a message, start sharing, and start sharing in snippets. That's my term for making it doable and manageable. You don't have to write a whole book or do a whole podcast. You can do a soundbite. You can, many of my recent book, I've been writing in 15 minutes a day. That's it. You don't need to set aside 4 hours a day. So for anybody out there listening who's been thinking about, especially this last year when maybe you've had more time and space to think about what you want to share, what you want to do, what direction you want to take, take the first baby step. Maybe it's opening a document today and not even writing anything on it. Maybe tomorrow you'll jot down some notes. Maybe the next day you'll email a friend, but do one thing a day, including weekends. Don't give yourself a break, or that's where trouble can come in. But take 5 minutes a day to connect to what really matters to you, because that will make a difference beyond what you can imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Amy. Ian.
What do I want to leave people with? I think that from my perspective in my business, the most important thing for me is to not get caught up with things that you think that you can or can't do. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of people avoid the money stuff because they think, well, I'm no good at numbers. And I like to remind them that I was not born a bookkeeper. It's a learnable skill, just like driving a car. And I don't know if you remember the first time behind the wheel. I still remember my first time behind the wheel because I was terrified. And it was in my dad's tiny 1973 Volkswagen Bug. So I wasn't going to hurt anything in it. But I just had this feeling that if I touched the wrong button, everything was going to explode. And I think a lot of people approach their finance the same way. And so just realizing you shouldn't have to try to do it all on your own. To get a guide, you know, you don't have to become fluent in the foreign language of accounting. You just have to know the couple of key phrases of how to get where you want to go and how to get a good meal. And to just start by doing something, even if it's open up a savings account and begin to put 1% of your income aside as savings. You know, that shouldn't be too stressful. And then just watch that grow and let that be the motivator to try something else.
Mm-hmm. And always keep in mind, profit first. No. Thank you. Dr. Lewis, what do you have for us?
Well, I would, and I'm going to talk to my ladies out there. Jim, no slight to the men, but you know, my thing is helping women. And so I am just going to tell them that they owe it to themselves to be the best that they can be. They owe it to themselves to share their story, because sometimes your story will impact someone else, someone that, like we were talking about depression, sometimes your story can bring someone else out of depression because they can connect with the fact that you were there, but you were able to come out of whatever it was. So that would be what I would say. Just make sure that you always step out and don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt your abilities. Don't limit yourself. And my thing that I always tell the ladies is to toot your own horn. That's okay to toot your own horn and let people know what you know. Don't take the back seat. Don't be in the background. Don't let someone else take your ideas because you're afraid to speak up. Always let them know that you have a voice and let that voice be heard and be known. That's what I would leave them with.
I love it. Toot your own horn. It's a poor dog that doesn't wag his own tail. I heard that expression. I was like, ooh, I like that. Let me start wagging my little tail. Tooting my horn. Thank you for that reminder. Madeline, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I want to tell everybody where the free goodies are. So
I like free.
Yeah. So quieting the mind. So your guidance and direction that you know better than anyone else can bubble up is much easier and more powerful than you may know. So I would love everyone to try that on my website, madelineweiss.com. If you scroll down, there's a complimentary mind management exercises pull down. Power breathing is on there. I love Jim's comment about imposter syndrome, like what's wrong with you if you don't have it. Once again, Jim, you are in very good company. There is a thought leader who wrote an article and said exactly what you said. And I actually posted on that with some examples of my own. So there are blog posts every week, also complimentary. And there's a search box. So for example, if you have a special interest in the imposter syndrome, you can type that in and this article will come up for you. And knowing what's normal, so we're not wasting any time or energy fretting about it, is also a powerful way to move forward in life. So thank you, Jim, for that. And I refer everyone to these posts, which are everyday matters that we all contend with, some better than others. So these are tools that will be helpful. And I invite everyone to help yourself to them.
Thank you. And I invite everyone to help themselves as well. Knowledge is power. We did it again, Jim. What do you think?
Well, you see, I know at this point I'm supposed to be advertorial and tell everybody to go use the 10% discount that Sharifa's friends have at the Danby discount store. But I'm going to comment on what the other guests said. And that is, we're coming out of a pandemic. We now have an opportunity to reinvent our lives and live the lives that we want to live. Because I know myself, I fell into a life where I figured I needed to be on a plane every other week. I figured I needed to be going out to cocktail receptions because I got invited by the bank or the lawyers or the accountants or whoever. But I realize now, no, I can decide what my life is going forward. And now's the time to do it. And as always, thank you, Sharifa.
And as always. What did you say, Jim?
I said, as always, thank you, Sharifa, and thanks to all of the other guests.
Okay, because we missed all the other guests. So I wanted to make sure we properly thanked all the other guests. This has been an amazing show. As always, I get to do this every day, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I appreciate all of you for joining me, today. I want to thank you for being today's guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean you're not important. And it definitely doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But I always ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show. Although I appreciate it, please support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to support you, to share their information, their knowledge, their journey with you. So please support them. Their website links are in the Facebook post, but don't just visit the website. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.